impress your friends, amaze your coworkers, make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
Fourth quarter of the program begins right now as we finish strong here on a beautiful Wednesday. We're at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC at I-35 in Santa Fe. Of course, two great stores now to handle all your car buying needs. Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, the Midwest, Kansas City, the state of Kansas, number one volume GM dealer, and of course, the fastest growing Olathe Kia. That's right, Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia is the fastest growing Kia dealership. 25 years the Brogdon family has owned Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. You got a commitment to the metro area, whether it's giving back to the community with food banks, healthcare organizations, giving to local schools. Robert Brogdon Buick GMC has been voted the number one car dealer to do business with between these two Brogdon stores. You've got the largest selection of new, certified, pre-owned, and used vehicles. All makes, all models. A car to fit every budget, it's there. All new Kia models are backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, and 0% APR financing is available on select new Kias. 0% APR financing for 72 months is available on all new Buick models and the GMC Terrain and Acadia. They've even got the 21, newly designed, redesigned 21 GMC Yukon. It's back in stock. We saw one roll out just a little bit ago. Bought right here. Great selection of light-duty and heavy-duty trucks for your business. Special discounts available for military and first responders. Get to Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, I-35 in Santa Fe, and Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia, 130 North First Street. Our Need to Know is brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. Of course, be a part of their wonderful loyalty club if you're a fan of Twin Peaks. Signing up for their e-club to stay up to date on all things Twin Peaks and score free stuff. It's the way to do it. Sign up. It's easy. Just visit TwinPeaksRestaurant.com/Peaks-Club to make sure that you're aware of all the great events that are coming up. Like a week from today, it's National Beer Day, and they'll be celebrating, of course, their ice-cold beer. It's there, whether it's a hoppy IPA, whatever it is you really appreciate. They got it at Twin Peaks, and, of course, best set up to watch you some baseball, football. Got the Sunday ticket, got the ESPN Plus. All your NFL action is on at Twin Peaks. The practice update, Curtis, for the Tennessee Titans. Who ain't practicing for the Titans?
Well, their top two wide receivers did not practice today. Julio Jones is out with a hamstring injury he suffered in the Monday night game against the Bills. Mike Vrabel had said yesterday that the team would take it day by day with Jones. He also missed weeks 4 and 5 with a hamstring problem. A.J. Brown is interesting. He was questionable Monday night because of food poisoning, but he had 7 catches for 91 yards. So he played and played well. He was listed out today with an illness. I don't know if that's related. Did he have some kind of stomach issue that came back? That's interesting to follow the next couple of days. Left tackle Taylor Lewan is in the concussion protocol after getting hurt Monday, and he didn't practice. The others, kicker Randy Bullock, cornerback Chris Jackson, running back Jeremy McNichols, and wide receiver Chester Rogers.
So a lot of people banged up for the Tennessee Titans. Derrick Henry not on that list. He'll be hammering away. That means the linebackers are going to be an important part of the equation. Anthony Hitchens leaving the game, only played 11 snaps. He was asked, Andy Reid was asked, who will make the defensive calls if Hitchens is out.
All three of them will be in there going, so at different spots. Spags got a lot of different personnel groups in there, but yeah, all three of them can make the calls in.
Yeah, Andy, who did have the call responsibilities when Anthony went out in Sunday's game?
They kind of mix that up. They, you know, between, I mean, they mix it up. You know, that's the best I can say.
He didn't want to go too far into that one.
Not going anywhere.
They mix it up, you know, it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some guys did some things.
Maybe. Tricep contusion is why Hitchens is out. So if he doesn't play, we'll see where they go. I'd like to believe that it's Nick Bolton, and so, only Nick Bolton.
Yes.
Because if you're going to invest a second-round pick in him, he's been around long enough, it should be Nick Bolton. And again, only Nick Bolton that plays. How about getting Willie Gay in place of Ben Neiman? Andy Reid was asked about the 18 snaps that Willie Gay got against the football team.
Yeah, he's getting back in the swing of things, and did a good job. He'll keep getting more as we go. Yeah.
That number was curious because he played 25 snaps the week that they didn't know if he was going to play, and he played fewer last week. And it wasn't like Buffalo ran a lot more plays than Washington. They ran almost the exact same number, 59 to 57, and yet he had 20 5% fewer plays?
Yeah, this one, look, Willie Gay needs to be on the field. And I'm going to tell you, you want to know how you stop Derrick Henry? Arrive with force and speed, right? Like, that's what needs to happen. They need to get there fast and bring a thump. And the guys who bring the thump are Nick Bolton and Willie Gay.
Yes.
And you want to be able to get a hit on the guy and slow his momentum. Everyone's going to have to gang tackle a guy that's this big and this fast. But if you're going to, you know, make some hits, Juan Thornhill flying up, speed creates force. And that's what they need to have success against him in this game. So hopefully we're going to see more of the two young linebackers moving forward. We'll see. Whitney Mercilus, according to Jeremy Fowler, is headed to the Green Bay Packers. That ain't happening. Case Keenum's going to get the start, it looks like, against the Broncos on Thursday Night Football. Baker Mayfield with the injured shoulder, so he won't go. Ed Orgeron today, the now departing head coach of LSU. Here's the final question to Orgeron, barely 4 minutes into his 10-minute window.
And on a lighter note, the chicken lady in Oxford, you think she's there? What's up with the chicken lady?
I don't know. I hope she is. And I hope every LSU fan that goes to Oxford stops by and gives her a good business. She's a great woman.
Thanks, Coach.
That's going to wrap you up, Coach. Thank you.
Not any more questions? That's going to wrap you up, Coach. That question was asked 4 minutes and 10 seconds after they said, we start with LSU coach Ed Orgeron,
who talked about his opponent like it was just any other day and then fielded questions about the chicken lady in Oxford, Mississippi. Yeah. I'm not saying it was a softball fest, but it was a softball fest. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some NFL football. George Schururi from Pro Football Focus will join us. We'll break down the Chiefs and the NFL. We're at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. The best place to buy a vehicle is right here at Brogdon. See him online at robertbrogdon.com.
The program with Soren Petro.
You will not like me, but the more you hate me, the more you will learn.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we broadcast live at Robert Brogdon's Buick GMC. Family owned and operated for over 25 years, Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, the number one volume GM dealer in the state of Kansas and the Kansas City area, largest volume GMC dealer in the Midwest, and proud recipient of the 2020 GMC Mark of Excellence Award. Right now between Robert Brogdon Buick GMC and, of course, Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Now it is Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia, and it's the fastest growing Kia dealer in the state of Kansas. Between the Brogdon stores, there is a huge selection of new, certified, pre-owned, and used vehicles in all makes, models, and budgets, no matter what you're looking for. Between Robert Brogdon Buick GMC and Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia, they have you covered here at Robert Brogdon's Buick GMC. Take advantage of 0% APR financing for 72 months available on all new Buick models and GMC Terrain and Acadia models. Redesigned 21 GMC Yukon, that's back in stock. And selection of light-duty and heavy-duty trucks for your business needs, they got that as well. Special discounts available for eligible military and first responders. Make sure you check into that. Check them out online at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, I-35 in Santa Fe, online at robertbrogdon.com. Let's talk some football, Chiefs and NFL, with our buddy George Schururi from Pro Football Focus. He joins us right now here in the program. George, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I just realized about 10 minutes ago that we are through a third of the NFL season, which is terrifying. But yeah, doing really well, man. Thanks for having me out.
Are you down with the new benchmarks? No longer do we have quarters to the season. We're going to have thirds of the season. Suddenly football has taken on a hockey approach.
Yeah, it's here's the way I view it. You can still use whatever you want. It's just another milestone for people to overreact. That's, I think, the best way to put it, right? It's like, you know, the first week, everyone overreacts. And it's like, oh, you need a bigger sample size. So after the first 4 weeks, everyone overreacts. First five is a milestone. You know, everyone overreacts. And now you've got six, the third.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. So overreaction third is what we've got here for the Chiefs. And so then what should the reaction be for the Kansas City Chiefs fans as they look at their club? Not what they're used to, 3-3, but certainly looking a lot better, at least in the second half against the football team. Do you view this team has one that's much better than its record and is ready to go on a streak. Like, everybody seems to have a bad run at some point. They've just had theirs, so it looks more pronounced here at the beginning, but they're going to get back up to at least being amongst the top teams. Or is this a team that's now maybe getting older, the cap, picking late in the draft, they find themselves with more flaws than what a top team could be?
Yeah, I think there's a little of both. You know, I think so. Here's one way to view the overreaction. I think if you go and you watch the average sports television talk show and you listen to their power rankings, I think basically every single pundit will have Kansas City outside of the top five. PFF's power rankings you can find on PFF.com as part of our Edge subscription. By the way, I have promo code for all your listeners, Forecast, 25% off, only between us then.
Right.
And we do our power rankings there in a way that I think really helps people not overreact. So the Kansas City Chiefs started the season as our number one power ranking, even though they lost the Super Bowl. There were some conditions there that made that understandable. They reloaded at some spots. They still have the number one quarterback in the NFL for our quarterback power rankings. And they have fallen to tied for second, basically third, just barely behind the Buffalo Bills, which is in large part because of a couple of factors. First is, we weigh more than just this season, right? If you're the reason that the Chiefs, with their record currently, are not, you know, in the middle of the pack in terms of the NFL is because of what we've seen over the past few years. And people tend to throw that away and react only to the recent season. The second is that they have played the fourth hardest schedule, another thing that you get on our power ranking tool, the fourth hardest schedule in the NFL to date. And if you look at the other teams in our top six, the Bucs, the Bills, the Cardinals, the Ravens, the Packers, and the Rams, that is the hardest schedule. There's only one other team in that top six or seven that has a top 10 schedule. No others of the top five strength of schedule. And so rest of the way, it doesn't get a ton easier. They have the 16th hardest schedule in the NFL going forward. But it's a way to, I think, not overreact. The way to react so properly on the negative side is to say, well, record does matter, right? And when you're trying to win the Super Bowl, there are a couple of things that come into play that even if you're the best team going into the playoffs, if you don't have home field advantage, it's a tougher road. Now, can you overcome that? Absolutely. Can you do that with an elite quarterback? The Bucs did it last year. The answer is yes, but there's no doubt about it that that's a harder path. And so you look at that division right now and you say, okay, what's the chances for the Chiefs to win that division? It was somewhere in the 70s, 80s last season. Now, if you look, we have this also on PFF.com, their chance to win the division 32%, which is just behind the Chargers. They obviously have the game they lost to the Chargers. Chargers have faced the toughest schedule in the NFL to date, 29th toughest or third easiest, fourth easiest going forward rest of the way. So that is the way to properly view it. They are still a really good team, perhaps a great team, but they are not the favorites to win the division. The loss to the Bills drastically diminished their chances of gaining home field, the bye in the first round, cut it, I think, by like 30%, actually. And that just will make the road a lot harder. So that's how I view it right now. It's a little bit of both.
Yeah, a little bit of both. I like that. And that's generally, you know, it's not the answer people want to hear, but it's generally the right answer. I know it's the mathematical answer. We wouldn't be getting it from George Shirey, from Pro Football Focus, with us here in the program. Great friend of the program and, of course, partner of one Eric Eager when it comes to the PFF forecast. Hence, use the code FORECAST, FORECAST. I, being a staunch and avid listener of the forecast, I'm well aware of not only is there a promo code, but there's a competition amongst the PFF guys. So if you're going to get your PFF subscription, do use the promo code FORECAST because it helps out George and Eric. So we would like them to win. And there's probably a little more than just bragging rights on the line knowing you.
It's friends and family, right? And your family, your listeners are family to us. And I know that they are competitive MFers. So I, as one of us, I'm calling on your arm to help us help us claim the crown here. We have an uphill battle. You know, we're a gambling and analytics podcast. We don't have that like mass appeal that, you know, just talking about the NFL in general has. So we can't lollygag. You know, we got to come out strong.
I like it. I like it. And by the way, I very much recommend the Forecast. It is a great podcast. If you love football and breaking it down and understanding how it works, it's great. The guys do a fantastic job. And of course, people have heard me say it many, many times, but if you're really a football fan, then you can't possibly say you are unless you have a Pro Football Focus subscription. Just so much great material there. It's honestly, it's frankly overwhelming. Sometimes I open up the site and I click and I all of a sudden I've got 11 windows that I'm like, okay, I want to look at that. I want to look at that. I want to look at that. And then I don't get to it all. So you will love it if you get it. We're talking to George here in the program about the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, listen, defense, you know, I've long heard you guys, you know, bang the drum about how it's offense, 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 right? Not that defense is irrelevant. You can't just lay down and let the other team have eight every time down the field, obviously. You know, a six and a two each time. You're not going to win that way. So it's not irrelevant. But what do we make of, you know, is too much? Are we getting too carried away with talking about how bad the Chiefs defense is when largely before the Washington game, we were measuring it against four pretty damn good football teams? And reality is defensive statistics are just an accumulation. It's kind of like I talk about power hitters. Right. Guys usually don't come in and club the baseball in the postseason because no longer do they get to see the fourth and fifth starter and the middle relievers. That's who they really beat up on and pile the stats up on. You know, the Chiefs have played playoff caliber teams. Maybe Cleveland's injuries are going to drag them down and they're not going to be there. But they're clearly, when they're healthy and when the Chiefs played them, a playoff caliber team. Is how bad the Chiefs defense look grossly overrated?
Yeah. So there's a little of both there. The first is, that defense is, and I'll borrow a phrase, but I'll explain it. Borrow a phrase from Eric Eager here. A weak link system. What does that mean? Your weakest link is how strong you are, right? On offense, it's the other way around. A great quarterback can overcome a lot of deficiencies. And, the Chiefs, quite simply, have some weak links on defense. You know, it, as evidence, I think maybe most, poignantly by Chris Jones having to move to edge rush. You know, it was Aaron Donald and then like Chris Jones, right, on the interior, and you move him outside. That speaks to the kind of weakness of the defense at a certain point. So that's one thing to realize. And when you have a weak link system like that, it's going to be at the disposal of really good offenses, right? So we often talk about how defensive results are often a product of how good the offense you face are. Let's go over the offense. Cleveland Browns at the beginning of the season. Terrence Stansky, one of the best offensive play callers, a lot of talent, the number one offensive line in the NFL. The Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson is first, second, or third in the MVP race, depending on how you slice it. They have been a fantastic offense. The Los Angeles Chargers. Justin Herbert in the MVP conversation, having an incredible year. Top seven graded quarterback. Ben Staley going for it on fourth down, hitting on fourth down. So there you have it. The first three teams in the season, great offense. The Philadelphia Eagles, not a great offense. They give up 30 points there, a little bit of garbage time. Buffalo Bills, one of the best offenses in the NFL. Then you play the Washington football team, not a good offense, give up 13 points. So what do you look at there? You look at four really, really good offenses. That is going to make most defenses look really bad. On the other side of things, why you might be concerned is those are the teams you're going to play in the playoffs, right? And so you do need to get some of those gaps shored up. You know, you need to contest more catches. You need to have, you know, Chris Jones playing at an all pro, not just a pro bowl, but an all pro level, on the defensive line. And here's the other thing. You can't turn the ball over as much. You know, that is something that Patrick Mahomes and that offense used to be so efficient. Now, it's not that they're not really efficient still, but so efficient and they didn't turn the ball over. When you do that, it really protects your defense in a lot of ways. So defense is something that the reason we call it, we say it, quote, doesn't matter, isn't that it doesn't matter in a game. It's that it's hard for you to predict how well they will play in a game. It's largely a function of the offense they're playing, and because it's a weak link system, it's hard to know based on injuries, based on matchups, how they will play in that game. So I don't expect them to be the worst defense in the NFL by a country mile for the rest of the season. And I don't think they need to be the best to win a Super Bowl either.
What's more important, to have the dominant D-tackle? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we like what we've seen out of Michael Dana, but we like him mostly. I think Eric said this last night on our Red, White, and True podcast. Like, we like him – in reference to where he was drafted. Like, you go fifth rounder, wow, great value, but like, is he really good enough to be an every down defensive end? He's the most promising one of the defensive ends, at least according to the PFF grades, but he still grades 68th of 105. Chris Jones only grades 42nd of 105, and he's been significantly better when he's been a defensive tackle. Is it more important? You know, listen, if they don't play better at D tackle, it's a no-brainer. Jaron Reed being down at the bottom. But if they can get the Chiefs have felt like Jaron Reed can be a difference maker. If Derek Nnadi gets healthy and back on his game, if Jaron Reed can improve, where is Chris Jones the most useful for this defense?
You know, it's a great question because edge rushers generate more value on average than interior defenders. And that's on average, right? Looking at PFF wins above replacement, right? So what you do is you look at, you know, how they grade on a certain play over the course of time, and how much value that adds to your defense. However, there's a trade-off, right? If Chris Jones is going to be the 25th best edge rusher versus the second best interior defender, kind of want him on the interior. If he is going to be able to remain a top 10 player regardless of where you play him, then I think you at least do what they did, the Rams did with Aaron Donald, which is you move them all over. And I think that's where I would ultimately land. I would look at Chris Jones as, if he can play on the outside, a chess piece that can confuse the defensive line, allow you to gain a little bit of that current mismatch where you look across the board here, and the PFF grading paints a very ugly picture. You may like where Jaron Reed can go. Right now he's 112 out of 122 defensive interior players, according to PFF grading. And no matter how you slide that, that's not great, right? Frank Clark, 104.
George, actually, just one thing real quick, if I can jump in. It's actually, he's rising like a bullet compared to where he's been.
Right.
Like, he must have had a phenomenal game against Washington because he was, like, next to last amongst the interior guys. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, that's one of those things where it's like, how it can slice both ways, where it's like, do you expect him to get better? Yes. But you've seen what happens if they don't, right? So I think that's one of the key things is they have relied on a defensive line that's pretty strong, where they don't have to overcommit to stop the run. They get, you know, they have a great interior presence on, and Chris Jones, reach some of the guys on the outside, be a little bit better. And I think that is one of the ways that they can improve quite a bit. You know, it's interesting. Mike Hughes on the outside, playing really well. Todd Benton, playing really well. Tyrann Mathieu, obviously always loves what he can do. Juan Thornhill is grading really well. So the areas of dramatic need are, well, look, we all know this. Sorensen getting burned left and right is always tricky. You know, and coverage is a huge issue. And then the defensive line needs to be a little bit more stout. Not impossible to pick. But right now, if they continue to play this way, they're going to be the same result.
How much better can you get in season, you know, without major personnel changes? I mean, I think the one thing that Chiefs fans have kind of hanged their hat on, we finally saw Dan Sorensen not played every snap. Juan Thornhill was, again, against a lesser opponent. That was part of the equation that added up to less than 300 yards allowed and only 13 points. They didn't plan on it, but Anthony Hitchens getting hurt meant he only played 11 snaps, meant Nick Bolton played on the mic. Again, lesser opponent, but part of the equation, and limiting him to under 300 yards and 13 points allowed. You know, a lot of people are excited about Willie Gay getting out there. He, again, didn't get near the snaps that Ben Neiman did, who grades brutally on the PFF grades. And as Eric Eagers pointed out, while he comes in on all passing downs, he's yet to have a tip pass in his career, has yet to have a pass defensed in his career. You know, how much better? You know, that's the hope, is that those guys, you know, making that move towards the younger, fresher, and hopefully faster legs will make a difference for this team. How much better can a defense actually get in season?
A really good amount. I go back to the Patriots, you know, kind of in their heyday. They had so many seasons where they started off and you were like, what is wrong with this defense? And by the end of the season, you felt like a complete idiot because what they were doing was just kind of testing out where, you know, players needed to be. They had such faith in Tom Brady. They had such a terrible division that, it, you know, they were able to do that. And the answer is you can get a good bit better. I mean, I would argue that if you can play predominantly nickel, and I think they do have the personnel to play a lot of that, you know, with three corners that you feel pretty good about, and then Tyrann Mathieu and Juan Thornhill. But what you're really doing is you're looking for a couple of linebackers who won't be exposed in the pass game. So you mentioned like Willie Gay Jr. That would be the hope, right, that you can get into that point. And I agree, I think you play like 19 snaps or something like that. I remember looking in this last game. That's not enough. So can he sustain, you know, better play over the course of more snaps? And if the answer is yes, then you plug one of those holes. I think you're still looking for probably two players. Maybe it's a big nickel, you know, but if you're playing a big nickel as your second linebacker, you know, inside, so to speak, then you need a guy that can cover. You know, that's kind of the point. And, you know, Sorensen simply has not been that to date. So I think you need to plug and play some different pieces there, because when you play a really good team, when you play Tom Brady watches tape, identifies your weakest link, and smiles and just, you know, looking his chops. That's how this works. You know, that's how the Chiefs should be attacking teams on the other side of the field. That's how they do it. Exactly. So you cannot have those weak links in there. You're only as strong as that weak link. And so for that reason, yeah, you can improve over the course of the season.
The Chiefs do seem to have a depth of corners. They don't have that one Darrell Revis guy, but, you know, we saw Rashad Fenton play well in this game, and he's a guy that some people would have called their fourth corner. I mean, Charvarius Ward hasn't graded very well, so I'll presume that he hasn't played very well up until this point, but he has played well in the past. Legarius Sneed's played exceptionally well in the past. His grade isn't what it was last year right now, but we've seen some really good football out of him. You know, does the depth of coverage and the fact that with Thornhill graded well, Tyrann Mathieu, his grade keeps inching up. It started kind of low, but it's been, which is funny with the game he had against Baltimore, but is inching up each week. He seems to be rounding into form. You know, if they have the coverage part right, like the coverage is more important, you can't have no pass rush. You got to get there. But Spagnuolo's done a pretty good job of getting a pass rush out there. Does the fact that they seem to be able to not have that weak link in coverage, can that trump all their other faults?
Yeah, we talk about this a lot. Like, if you must have one, what do you want? And, you know, really strong coverage predicts winning better than, you know, these vice versa, having really strong pass rush and no coverage. And, you know, there's some obvious reasons for that. You know, quarterbacks control how quickly they get to the ball. Players can get open, you know, quicker than a pass rush can get there. That said, there's a reason that things like play action make quarterbacks better. Why? It gives you more time to throw. The longer a coverage unit has to cover, the less chance that they're going to be able to. And so it does cut, you know, both ways. That said, if you have a strong coverage system, it will allow you, I think, scheme. And we talk about scheme. What do I mean by that? Creative blitzes, you know, confusing, trying to confuse and show things to the offense that they're not prepared for. It gives you more opportunity to scheme up pass rush, which is something that you can do more than scheming up coverage. I mean, you can obviously do both, but from a pass rush perspective, we've seen this throughout the league. Belichick, again, a guy that did this a few years ago with tons of stunts and creative blitzes, a lot of cover zero. And that's something you can do when you have strong coverage players on the outside. So I would argue, if I had to be dealing with a problem right now, that it's probably the one that the Chiefs have, where you're looking to shore up some of the more interior players. That said, the one thing, Saran, that I keep kind of chuckling at is the problem with, like, the interior coverage defenders, whether it be linebacker or safeties that are playing as linebacker, seems to have persisted now for, like, 4 years. And so I don't know how much faith I have that will actually improve.
We're talking to George Cheruri here in the program. George, what about disguising coverage? We hear Eric Eager talk about that, and that's something that Steve Spagnuolo does a fine job of, is disguising his coverage. But we've also seen them have trouble getting lined up. Presumably that's because maybe it's too complex. Maybe the disguise is too much. How important is disguising coverage versus getting young, fast legs on the field, right? If that's what's keeping Willie Gay off, what is the value of disguising that coverage?
Yeah, it's something that Richard Sherman talked about last year when he was on Chris Collinsworth's podcast, and they were talking about the Cowboys and how terrible their defense was. And, you know, what he said was, like, your coverage is only as good as the speed at which your players can play. And what that means is, you know, if you have elite athletes out there and you give them a scheme that maybe it's relatively simple, but they are able to play it without thinking. In other words, they are able to use 100% of their athleticism by just letting, you know, cutting you, right? That is crucial. You cannot play without that. And after that, you can add, you know, some of these things that provide, you know, weird looks for the defense. You know, when we talk about disguising coverage, we talk about showing, you know, maybe showing two safeties in the middle of the field, but then ultimately playing one, or vice versa. So, you know, you have a quarterback who reads it, you know, as man coverage or zone coverage, ends up being, you know, the other type of coverage. There's also ways to disguise blitzes, what I was kind of just talking about with scheming up blitzes. So it, again, I think it's something that's valuable, especially when you get to the playoffs. You know, you look at a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who a couple of years ago we were looking at it, it's like, why is he struggling? Actually struggling against a lot of design coverages. And a lot of what some of the offensive teams aim to do is, with all this shifting and all this motion, expose what the coverage is going to be, expose what the defense is going to play pre-snap. And a lot of really good teams do that. And so it makes it a little harder to disguise coverage. So I always lean on the other side. Find something that you have the playmakers to play, allow them to play it at 100%, and that way you're less likely to end up with coverage bust, give up a big play, you know, try and keep things in front of you, as I think teams have tried to do to the Chiefs, you know, with some success this year.
We're talking right now with George Shurry from Pro Football Focus here in the program. I want to switch gears because I want to get your thoughts on this. George is a Niner fan. We talked about this down at the Super Bowl. Eager being a Chiefs fan, George a Niner fan. That was a great opportunity. I know it didn't go the way George wanted with the 49ers, but a chance to, you know, have two guys that work together, respect each other, and are buddies, sit and watch a game together. I thought that was really cool that ended up coming together the way it did. Now, that being said, so I give the background. You're a Niner fan. Can you explain to me, I've asked this question to a couple of people. I actually asked it to Adam Schefter, and, you know, he really pushed back in defense of Kyle Shanahan. Can you explain to me why Kyle Shanahan appears to be under no heat and is still considered like this genius coach, but Matt Nagy, who's actually been to more playoffs and has a better record, has a better win percentage, is like the class boob and is just barely ahead of the posse that's trying to fire him. How is 4 out of 5 years with a losing record? Now, he can change that with this year, obviously, with Kyle Shanahan. And I know getting to a Super Bowl, that's a big cash, right? If you're going to have one winning season, go all the way to the championship game and maybe even lead it for 52 minutes, you know, that helps too. Can those two really be that far apart as they are certainly held that far apart by the NFL industry?
Yeah, well, certainly making it to the Super Bowl, as you said, like, you know, we'll do that. I think there's a big gap between what they've done offensively with the players they've had. So if you look over the past three seasons, the San Francisco 49ers are just inside basically a borderline top 10 passing team in terms of expected points added, which is basically contextualized yards per play. It's the best way of measuring offensive efficiency on passing plays. Now, that is with a just cuckoo platter of quarterback. It's not even having, you know, Jimmy G wasn't even, you know, that's having Jimmy G, who's like maligned, right? But also like Nick Mullins and PJ Beathard. And on the other side of things, the Bears have had a guy that they drafted second overall who has greatly underperformed, right? And that is on that. The Bears are ranked 27th. And expected points added per pass play. The only teams worse than them over that three-year span, the Bengals, the Jaguars, the Giants, the football team, and the Jets. That is atrocious. You look at the running game, and I think this is where Kyle Shanahan, I don't want to say it's overrated, but he definitely gets a little more juice for this. The Niners, over the past three seasons, are exactly middle of the pack, dead on average, in terms of expected points added for run play. Now, they do a nice job with their run play of finding explosive plays in them, but I think that's an area where Kyle Shanahan does get a little more credit. Obviously, they have an effective run game. They can run the ball a lot. And part of that, I think, is because they don't have a great quarterback. But I'll say this. Now he does have a quarterback in Trey Lance, who they have gone up, traded for, drafted highly. So 2 years from now, if they are not an above-average offensive unit, they haven't made it to the playoffs, then I think he will be in the same spot as Nagy. But I do think it's – I don't think they're even in the same stratosphere from an offensive perspective. I mean, if you watch a Niners game, you will see offensive players running free over the middle of the field, 10, 15 yards downfield. His offensive scheme is really good. His play calling is suspect in the sense that doesn't go for a lot of fourth down, runs a lot on second and long, as I just talked about. So it's not that he's without warp, but as a schemer of offense, there is a galaxy between him and Matt Nagy still, in my opinion. And now he's tied to a quarterback in Trey Lance, who I'll say this, you know, like there's definitely some reason for concern there, but I would feel a lot more confident about a player with his athleticism and Kyle Shanahan's team being a good product than I do Matt Nagy and what was Mitch Trubisky as his quarterback.
When it comes to the rookie quarterbacks, Justin Fields was a guy that I know you were high on. He is not taken off like a rocket by any means. In fact, he looks like a guy who really would rather run than throw. Do we attribute that all then to Matt Nagy? Or does some of what you just broke down about Matt Nagy's offensive abilities, and listen, I know I come across sounding like the agent of Matt Nagy. I like the guy here, but I just would like to explore, you know, all the avenues. Or do we look at it and say, Mitchell Trubisky wasn't good, okay? And Justin Fields may not be good. Now, his role, whatever it was, and I found that every time something goes wrong, everybody immediately blames everyone else on their way out the door, right? Once all the people that were in Chicago, if Fields doesn't end up being a great quarterback, they'll have their story about why so-and-so was the guy that wanted to take him. But that being said, I mean, is it possible that, you know, he's just ended up, like you mentioned, Garoppolo limiting what Kyle Shanahan can do, that Mitchell Trubisky and Fields just aren't good. Let's focus. I don't want to retry Mitchell Trubisky, but on Fields, is he disappointing to this point?
I think all the rookie quarterbacks have been a little disappointing, especially in light of what we saw last year. I think both Burrow and Herbert were more exciting earlier on. But the Bears offense is kind of a disaster. they are 28th in the league in plays per minute, 30th in plays per minute. They do not run up tempo. They don't take advantage of that at all. They do not run the ball. They do not pass the ball. They're 30th most pass-heavy team. They run way too much on early down. They rank 28th in play action rate, which is comedic, given that they're running the ball so darn much. Like, if you're going to do that, at least run play action like 50% of the time. They're not doing that. They're 22nd in the usage of motion and shift, which I just talked about, is what all sharp offensive teams are doing to help expose coverages. Justin Fields is also throwing the ball on average about 13 yards down the football field, about 11 yards down the football field on average, which would be a full yard more than anyone through it last year on average, which speaks to, like, their offense is so darn one-dimensional. He's also only getting a design run on about 5% of their run plays, which, if you look at a guy with that athleticism, is just, in my opinion, bananas. So I'm not saying that Justin Fields deserves no blame for some of this. I mean, obviously, like, quarterbacks control a lot of how long they hold onto the ball. He's holding onto the ball for a very long time, about 3 seconds per snap. But the offensive coordinator and play caller, and they're the ones that are dictating, you know, how often are you running? How often are you passing? Are you running enough tempo offense? Are you using motion shifts? Are you running play action? And that's not happening. So I think Justin Fields, I still have a lot of faith in him. It's not as if the other highly touted quarterbacks are out there lighting up. And I think that's perfectly fine. You know, they're all on not so great teams. The Bears, though,
you know, after the Niners, best team from what they have around them. So I think that speaks to Matt Nagy not leveraging those pieces well enough. And at some point, you look at Kyle Shanahan as a good example. You know, Nick Mullins, P.J. Beathard, those are replacement quarterbacks. Okay, and if you can generate a top 10, 15 offense with those players, then scheme can do a lot. And so if you have a guy like Justin Fields, I don't think anyone's saying he's a replacement level quarterback right now. You should be able to generate some offense with the type of talent you have in your scheme.
We're talking to George Sherry from Pro Football Focus. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System has extended weekday hours and a Saturday morning walk-in clinic. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. I will start you with this, George. Right now, 31-38, Kyle Shanahan's career record. How many wins does he finish with in his career?
38. How many does he finish with? That's a really good question. I'm going to say that he probably, I think he's got a really long tenure left. Like, I could easily see him coaching 25 more years, you know, if he wants to. Like, I just, you know, you look at his dad and it's like, clearly it's in the blood. You're not worried about him not playing. So let's say he coaches 20 more years. I'll say he wins on average like 9.5 games. So I think he gets over 200. I think he gets 300 again.
200 plus. I'll put down that's pretty bold when you get up that high. That's rarefied air.
Yep. I'm a Chan fan.
Yeah. No. You definitely are. All right. What's the Chiefs' final record this year?
This is a good one. So 3-3 right now. I'm going to say. I think they still get to 11 wins.
Okay. 11.
I do. The rest of their schedule, not particularly challenging. So I think they make it there.
All right. Longer at their current job, Mike Shanahan or Andy Reid?
Well, I don't know what Mike Shanahan's current job is, but I'm assuming he's not getting
it. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Kyle Shanahan.
By the way, Mike Shanahan, a guy that I'm not sure gets enough credit, but just had this incredible bust put up of him in front of the Broncos stadium, and the picture there is worth checking out. I'll say that. Okay. Longer tenure at their current job. Kyle Shanahan.
Shanahan. Okay. So you think he's in it for the long haul with the Niners, not just like he ends up someplace else.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like it. And finally, what's Patrick Mahomes' TD and INT ratio end up being at the season? What's his touchdown and interception totals? Currently, he is sitting at 18-8.
Man. So I was really bullish. Early in the season, I said he was going to get to 60. You know, so now with like the 17-game schedule, does he still get?
If you want to know, he's on pace for 51-23.
Yeah, I'm going to say he gets to 55. I really do still want to say 50 because I think they might need it. Let's flip the difference. I'm going to go 57. I think he kind of tears it up going forward. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, and the INTs.
And the INTs, you said he's got 10 now?
He's got 8 right now, which puts him on pace for 23.
8 right now. I think he finishes. I think some of those defenses would be. Let's say that he gets maybe 6 the rest of the year. I think he closes with 15 or fewer.
Okay. All right. I like it. George, always great talking to you, buddy. It's been too long. We appreciate it. We encourage everybody, go sign up for your PFF subscription. Use the promo code FORECAST. You'll save money. And, of course, you'll help George and Eric, FORECAST. It is must reading, whether you're a college fan, a pro fan. Check out the subscriptions at Pro Football Focus. You will love it. George, my friend, thanks so much. Have yourself a great week.
Hey, thanks for having me on. You as well. Bye, guys.
That is our man, George Sherry from Pro Football Focus, the best in the business. He and Eric Eager are breaking down the NFL. Always appreciate our time with him. And we always appreciate Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC, and Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Between both Brogdon stores, remember, you've got a great selection of new, certified, pre-owned, and used vehicles. Every make, every model, in every budget class. They have you covered. Remember, all new Kia models are backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. 0% APR financing available on select new Kia models. The popular Telluride, that's back in stock. One of the best values on the market. And the first ever 22 Kia Carnival, now available with seating up to 8 passengers. Remember, discounts available for eligible military members. So come check it out at Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Find them online at olathekia.com. We'll take a break, come back, and give you the kicker to wrap things up.
But first, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. How many players have won the Triple Crown and the World Series in the same season? The answer is 2. Frank Robinson of the Orioles in 1966, Mickey Mantle of the Yankees in 1956, the Mick, born 90 years ago today.
Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, by the way, we're right around the corner from the Kansas City Barbecue store, where we'll be broadcasting live on Friday. Looking forward to getting over there. You can get everything you need, sauces, rubs, the grill, everything. It's there at the Kansas City Barbecue store, right across the parking lot from Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. I want to thank everybody here at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, I-35 in Santa Fe. I'm going to tell you the car buying experience. You can't find a better car buying experience than you'll get here. There's a reason why they're the number one volume GM dealer in the state of Kansas and the Kansas City area. There's a reason why they're the largest volume GMC dealer in the entire Midwest. It's because the car buying experience is as good as it can possibly be right here at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. And, of course, at their sister location, that's Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. You can find them 130 North 1st Street, F-I-R. If you're going to GPS it, basically just across the street from Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Whenever it's time to buy a vehicle, remember Robert Brogdon Buick GMC and Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia have the largest selection of new, certified, pre-owned, and used vehicles. It all makes models to fit any budget. Check them out online. It's olathekia.com. That's olathekia.com. And, of course, robertbrogdon.com. Our thanks to all our friends here at Brogdon's. We'll see you tomorrow at 2.